Hi, folks. Dean Crisp back in the studio, Straight Talk on Leadership. Got a great podcast this week. Going to be joined in the studio with Kelly. We're going to be talking about mentoring and image. We're going to be talking about creating your self-image and how to self-mentor. I think you're going to really enjoy this. This is going to be some information that's really going to help you kind of create this map and how to get yourself on the road to being the best version of the leader that you can possibly be. And as we always say on Straight Talk, turn up your volume, sit back, get ready to change your life. Hi, I'm Dean Crisp. Welcome to Straight Talk on Leadership. This is what we'd like to say is the no BS zone, where we give you leadership tips, ideas, and practical suggestions to help you become a top leadership performer. Our goal is simple: help you become the best version of yourself and reach your highest potential as a leader. So sit back, turn up the volume, be ready to change your life. Hi, folks. Dean Crisp in the studio this week, joined by Kelly Corbin, our business development coordinator, operations manager, and, you know, just overall Swiss Army knife for LHLN. So we really appreciate
that's a new
you.
One.
Yeah, I know. We really appreciate you, Kelly, joining us on the podcast. Got some exciting stuff we want to talk about this week. We're going to talk about self-image and self-mentoring. Two of the most important components of leadership, because the number one thing they give you as a leader is direction. If you lack direction as a leader, you are not going to be that effective. You are basically going to come in and just do the same things that you did yesterday, hoping and expecting you're going to get the best results or different results. Doesn't always work out. It isn't always a catastrophic event or a catastrophe, but if you want to get better, you got to work every single day at getting better. So today is going to be a great podcast. I'm excited. And you know, Kelly, this concept about self-image and self-mentoring is kind of it's been a work in progress out of a number of classes and talking about intentional leadership. And the one thing I always like to do is take that stuff deeper, you know, go deeper into that subject matter. And right. So as a result of that, that's fine. So Kelly, welcome, you know, good to have you on the show this week.
It's always fun to be on these. It's one of my favorite responsibilities to help you do these. So they're fun. And we usually talk about some pretty cool stuff. So, and it was fun to be in Nashville this week. What a great class that was. Just very, you know, great hosts with TBI Nashville and a great group of folks that in the class as well. So.
Well, you had a chance to bring your daughter over and, I had my longtime friends that traveled out who'd been wanting to take in the class. And so Larry Brow, who we all call Bebop, one of my longtime friends, a retired coach at Reynolds High School, had been asking me about taking the class. And he'd never been to Nashville. So I said, hey, be a good opportunity. And then you took the opportunity to do some sightseeing and get out with your daughter and take her over there for it's getting ready to be the college thing for you. So glad y'all had a good time over there. It was enjoyable in the classroom. So
definitely.
Yeah. And you know, I learned some things this week in the classroom, just in terms of, which is what I always try to accomplish in the classroom. I think if I ever just start doing classes and they're not where I can't learn every week and I can't get some really good ideas and suggestions and some points about going deeper into the subject of leadership, I think I'll find a way just not to do them as much. But, you know, I've really enjoyed every class. I really push myself to the next level and try to get a better understanding of leadership so that I can help myself and help folks. And I think it worked this week. We had a number of folks in the classroom that came up and told us how much they appreciated it. We gave them some information. We did the intentional leadership course. We're getting ready to go back to Nashville on September the 9th. So if you haven't signed up for that one, that's looking to be a full class on the master leader presenter course where we take a major, major, major deep dive into leadership. And we think about some things that you not just normally would think about. And then we teach you how to present yourself in not only a leadership situation, but also if you have to make presentations. So it's just one of those courses that, and to a person, this is very rarely that anybody can say this, but to a person, we have literally heard out of the hundreds of people who have taken this course that it has changed their life way more than they ever thought it would change their life.
Yes, and that's coming from veteran officers, chiefs, sheriffs. We have one sheriff who actually does teach for us from time to time that went out and wrote 3 books after he took the class. So yes, it's definitely a life-changing class. And I think the dates are actually the third week in September, like around the 15th. Right. So just so our listeners know when to look for it. And it is filling up fast. So we do limit the size of that class because of the nature of it, but it is well worth it. And it is, it's a priceless class. I think that the communication and connection that they learn is invaluable regardless of where you are in the organization.
Matter of fact, we had a chief tell us this week that one of his sergeants had taken the course a couple of weeks back, and he was going to be out of town and not be able to present to his town council, to his selectmen. And he was so confident with the sergeant's abilities because he had been in the class that he literally turned over a major presentation to the sergeant, to his selectmen, and had heard nothing but great, great comments about how the sergeant just pulled off a great presentation. So not trying to take full credit for the sergeant doing a great job, but what I am telling you is it does help you become one of the best presenters and one of the absolute best communicators out there. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to that. And I think we're going to be in Portland, Maine, August. Yes. When is those?
First week
those?
In August. First, it's August 2nd through the 6th. We do still have some openings in that class and need to hear from you as soon as possible. Would love to get you guys in that class if you're in the Northeast, in Maine, in the New England area. So make sure you reach out and let's get you in that. You'll really enjoy it.
Yeah. So we really appreciate everybody out there that's joined our podcast. We still remain in the top 10 of the law enforcement, according to Police One, of the law enforcement podcast in the nation. So we really do appreciate that. Couldn't do it without you. Folks are telling, we got several calls this week about the podcast about, you know, we got one call about you, Kelly, in terms of they were really enjoying your part of the podcast and what you were to offer and that perspective. So we always love hearing those comments. So thank you to all of you. We couldn't do this without you. So we really appreciate that.
Definitely. And it's always a pleasure to be on here. I think it helps you because you feel like you're having a conversation with someone. So I'm happy to help. And I think that, I'm very committed to what your goal is, which is to provide inspiration and information to our law enforcement community and our first responders across the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So one of the things we want to talk about in today's podcast, we want to talk about two things. We want to talk about your self-image, which is how you see yourself. And we want to talk about self-mentoring, which is something that you can do to actually make yourself better. And I'm going to talk about the importance of mentoring, but I'm going to focus on you mentoring yourself and some of the reasons why you should do that. And I'm going to talk about self-image, the importance of how you see yourself as a leader and where you see yourself going. So with that, Kelly, let's go ahead and jump right into the podcast here and let's talk about some things that I think are extremely important, particularly have been important in my leadership life. And the first thing is creating a self-image that helps you become the best leader that you can possibly be. Now, a lot of people think when you say self-image that it's this prideful, haughty kind of thought of yourself. And I have a self-image that is one where I am constantly aware that I am trying to get myself better. Now, I want to make sure that everybody out there understands 1,000%. That very rarely do I ever reach that goal of being my best. It's Sunday morning and we're doing a podcast, and I can tell you already today, there are a couple of things that I just wasn't at my best, simply because sometimes I lack patience. Sometimes I don't really stop and really think. You know, I'm just like everybody else out there when it comes to leadership or it comes to being a person. But I want people to realize that you have to create an image that kind of keeps you on track. And having the right self-image of yourself kind of keeps you on track when it comes to being the best person that you can be. And it gives you a direction that I think a lot of people lack as it relates to leadership. A lot of people don't know where they're going. So as a result of that, the people that follow them don't know either. So I think the first step in knowing where you're going as a leader is, what kind of self-image are you creating of yourself? And one of the things I know about myself is that I have a lot of good intentions. Like, I have good intentions to do things and to get things done and to make progress and to move forward. And a lot of times they don't get done because I don't bridge the gap between good intentions and actions. And I don't want anyone to think that I am talking about you should focus on the results of what your self-image is. I'm talking about the journey to, or the journey that it creates with having the right self-image. Right. And all of us suffer from other people's views of what we are and what our self-image can be. And I remember in the 10th grade in high school, when I wasn't really doing that well in school and I was, you know, not really going to stay eligible to play baseball, and they wanted me to stay eligible because I was one of the best players. And I mean, it's documented that I went on and played minor league baseball. So I'm not trying to brag that I was a good baseball player. I mean, I was, I was okay. And I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm trying to say that I was that great of a baseball player, but I did have some talent. And back then you had to stay eligible. You had to have a 2.0 in grade point average. And I was hovering around 1.5 or 1.75 or whatever, because I was taking the college track and I'd gotten somehow far behind and I just wasn't up to par. So they decided they were going to put me in the bricklaying class. And I had three choices. I had bricklaying, I had carpentry, and automotive. Well, I don't know anything about cars.
I'm surprised you didn't choose the automotive, though, as much of a car buff as you are. But
well, I am now, but back then I didn't. Cars were not what they were to me today. And I couldn't cut wood straight, so I figured not really bricklaying, because I didn't want to work that hard. But they stuck me in this bricklaying class. And the one thing that being in a bricklaying class can do for you is begin to create a self-image of yourself that maybe one of these days you're going to be a bricklayer. And, you know, I really learned the value of self-image right there, because I think what a lot of people out there need to realize is that everybody that you know has a narrative of you, and everybody that you work with has a narrative of you. And generally it's a lot more limiting that what your own personal narrative is. So
you're saying, you're saying that somebody else's view of you is more limiting than yours is, or vice versa? Did I get confused on that?
Well, people who lead you and want you to really get better, as a rule, may have a better self view of you than you might have of yourself.
I gotcha. Okay.
But most people that you work with have a limited view of what you are. As a matter of fact, they use it to keep you down.
Yeah.
And they will use it to talk about you. They'll use it to always say you can't do this or you can't do this and that kind of stuff. Excuse me. But when you look at your self-image, it's really a culmination of a lot of things. It's what you think of yourself. It's what other people think of you. And by the same token, it's generally the results of where you are right now. So for me, I literally was suffering from a self-image that I was going to be a bricklayer if I weren't going to be a baseball player. And that will mentally begin to play on you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, you see this a lot with kids, that once they get the narrative from other people, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a coach, that they can't do something, then they basically, they start believing that. And I think that's where the danger comes in of where you're going, is that it does become kind of this externally prescribed narrative of yourself that you right. start to believe.
Yeah. And a lot of people are limited by their self-image. And if it's not a psychological self-image limitation, it's a physical one. And you know, those are just true. If you appear and think that you're overweight, or if you think you're not as attractive, or if you think that you don't appeal to people as much as some others do. And there have actually been studies that have shown that people with a self-image that generally is not what they think it should be do suffer from self-esteem issues. And so self-image is huge. But I'm not trying to psychologically get into a person's self-image. What I'm trying to get into is the self-image you have as a leader, because we stay pretty much on the leadership topics here. Mm-hmm. But you do have to realize that how you see yourself really is a reflection of your thought process and others combined. And I saw myself very limited in terms of intellect and in terms of where I thought I might end up being. And, you know, it really didn't dawn on me till many, many years later that I could have allowed that self-image to really, really shape
Absolutely.
My life.
And absolutely.
And luckily I kind of, because I grew up in an environment where you had to survive on a daily basis, I was able to move my self-image out of being so dependent on that. So let me tell you what self-image does to you. Self-image gives you direction. It creates a motivation. It keeps your mojo, and it generally gives you a result. Mm-hmm. So I want people to realize that when you talk about your self-image, that it absolutely gives you a direction of what you're trying to accomplish. So let me talk about it in terms of leadership for me. So I have an image of what I would like to be like. And this is something that I want people that are listening to, folks who are listening to the podcast, to be aware of. There is not one leader that you want to be like. There are a number of leaders that you should try to be like. And you should take characteristics of those leaders to create this self-image of yourself that begins to formulate where you're going in the future. Because a lot of people don't do that. They just come in and what they see in the mirror is what they believe is the limitations. And when you only look in the mirror, you will only see what you are. You will never see what you can be. So what I want you to start doing is to create this self-image so that you can start seeing what you want to be in the realm of what you want to be as a leader. So you have to literally, if you want to be let's say I want to be more emotionally intelligent as a leader, I have to actually see myself doing that before I will ever do it. And if you're waiting on the execution of those things to improve yourself, you are not going to get any better. You have to see yourself doing it before you ever do it. Matter of fact, right. That's one of the secrets of psychology, is that studies have shown that people who create a visualization in their brain to do things are much more productive at getting those done than people who never visualize those things.
You know, it's so funny you bring that up, because I remember in high school, you know, I played golf. I was on the varsity team, was captain senior year. And our coach was one of the first ones. We went to state, I think, junior and senior year in Kansas. And he actually started introducing, he had made friends with this guy who was kind of into that. And it was all new. This was like the mid 80s, I would say, early mid 80s. And that was kind of the new concept of you have to visualize that you can hit the ball right and it's going to go down the middle of the fairway and it's going to be the distance you want. And so that was like all new to me as a 17, 18 year old kid when I'm a senior. But I totally get it now. I mean, I try to do that a lot with other things, other aspects of my life, of like just visualizing what the outcome is going to look like and the process that you go through to get to that outcome in order to achieve it. I think it works really, really well.
Well, let me bridge the gap here, because I know that a lot of people might be saying, well, what image do I get of a leader? Well, now here's where the play on that is a little bit. I don't want you seeing a picture of a leader and saying, that's what I want to be like, that person. I want you to picture the results that you're going to get by this self-image you create.
Yes.
That gives you those results that you're going to see. For example, I can't think of a better result than any leader could have, especially for followers and especially for people that they're working with. I can't think of a better result for them to continually to go around and say, I love my job. If they love their job, you better bet there is a good leader connected to them being able to say that. Because if there is not a good leader connected to that, they will never say, I love my job. They will say, I hate my boss, but I like what I do. I mean, that is just the way people are. There has to be a combination of things that you do in your workplace and a love for your leaders that creates you to be able to say, I love my job. And I don't care who you are. So as a leader, what I'm saying is I want you to create that self-image of how do I do that? How do I get someone to say, I love my job? Now, let me give you an example of creating a self-image for me, because there's characteristics of other leaders that I want to emulate. Like, for example, the ability to present themselves with just I don't want to say an aura about them, but a professionalism about them that connects people is John Maxwell. You know, and I'm not trying to say that I'm trying to be a John Maxwell wannabe. I'm not. But what I am trying to do is use his characteristics of where he takes concepts and he can put them together simplistically and connect with people. So when I'm presenting, I want to have that. I don't want to be John Maxwell. And I'm not telling any of y'all to be anybody but yourself, but there are traits of leaders that you should put into a wish list of what you wish you were like that you could work towards. And that creates the self-image you're shooting for. So it gives you a visualization of how that's executed. I hope everybody gets that. So
no, I think that's a great point. I think you're saying that basically what I hear you saying is that you can't be somebody else, but you can take traits or characteristics that you admire in that other person and try to emulate them in your own way.
But I'm not trying to be John Maxwell. I'm trying to have John Maxwell impact and influence through Dean Crisp.
Let's take a short break from the show. And we'll be right back.
Hi, Straight Talk listeners. This is Kelly Corbin. If you enjoy listening to Dean on air, how would you like to have him come and either be an instructor in a live class or be a keynote speaker at an upcoming convention that you're helping to plan? If that's the case, give me a call. You can find my number at our website, www.lhln.org. Or fill out the request form on our website, and I'll reach back out to you. We look forward to working with you to grow future leaders. Correct.
So I can see how he does that, which gives me an idea of this is how you could do it, you know? And then, you know, you've heard me talk about David Goggins, and I don't like any of his personal traits I don't know him as a person, so let's not, and I definitely am not a David Goggins hater. I'm a David Goggins. I admire him to the nth degree and am very respectful of what he's accomplished. I'm just not that, I'm not as hardcore as he is, and I don't see things like he does. Of course, I've not even accomplished a quarter of what he's done. So what I'm saying, though, is that he has this major drive about him where he doesn't want to quit on anything, and he will do anything. Although, you know, I'm not talking about his personal life and I'm not talking about friendships. I'm talking about running and pushing himself to physical boundaries. He just has that amazing ability to do that. I like that, where I don't want to quit and I don't want to give up either. So I like those traits about him. So here again, I'm creating a self-image where I see myself having the grit not to quit. And that almost
grit. I like that. Grit not to quit.
The grit not to quit. I know. So I just make something.
Okay, I'm writing that one down because we need quotes from you anyway.
The grit not to quit. And I like that part, you know. And then when you talk about connective, you've heard me say this, you know, I admire Billy Graham, who the longtime pastor to the presidents and one of the greatest evangelists of all time. I'm not talking about his religious life. I'm talking about his ability to connect with people was well known. And so I'm just giving you three examples of when you create a self-image, you're like, I want to be able to have the message, the depth, and the simplicity like Maxwell, the grit to not quit like David Goggins, and the connectivity of Billy Graham. Well, that's a self-image, right? And that creates a rather productive self-image. But one thing that does is it gives me great direction. Like, it keeps me working towards those things always. So what it does is it gives me direction. The second thing it does is it motivates me, because it motivates me to have impact on others, because your self-image should be used as a motivation, not a competition with others.
Like a motivation to action.
Yes. And the one thing, and also the motivation to get other people to act, you know, and I've said this, and I will do we might do a podcast about this later on, which I think is a good idea, is you need to stop competing with your people, you know?
Yes.
So,
yeah,
you know, when you have a motivation to compete with your people, it's always a negative outcome. So what I'm talking about is a self-image. You have the motivation to say, all right, this is what I want to be. So I create this image. It gives me direction. That keeps me motivated when I don't meet it. The third thing it does is it gives me a mojo about myself. And I'm not talking about a mojo of overconfidence or arrogance, but it gives you a confidence. When you have the right mojo, you are not paralyzed. You will do things. And I think if you look in law enforcement, one of the reasons we've kind of not done a lot in the last year and a half in terms of progressing our image, and our image has been stolen, is because we've had our mojo in law enforcement stolen.
Absolutely.
When the mojo gets stolen, it creates a paralysis. You know, so I think we're suffering from paralysis because we don't, you know, we're paralyzed because we don't really know what we're doing. So it gives you a mojo, you know. It's like you have a confidence about you that can create a results orientation, but it can create an environment around you to where people can be their best. And I know one thing, I want to follow a leader that creates an environment around them. So people need to realize as leaders that when you create an environment, you begin to create a culture around you. And culture is extremely important when it comes to self-image, is what culture do I put myself in? And you tend to create a culture that is one that people are driven to, one that people want to be in, one that people look at themselves to be in their best. I have never seen a great leader that does not create an environment around them that allows people to be totally better. I mean, I've never seen it. They always do that. Remember, the ultimate goal is to say, I love my job. And when you create an environment around there,
I think those are really good points. I mean, the culture thing is really important because I think there's a lot of people that talk the talk, but they don't necessarily walk the walk. And that probably goes back to their self-image in some fashion.
Walking the walk is impossible 100% of the time. I don't want people to have a false belief that if you slip, you're going to be totally fall. Remember, you do catch yourself sometimes.
And you are human.
That's right. And you do fall. I mean, you can't totally walk the walk all the time. I mean, I don't care what it is. Circumstances will create where it's impossible to walk the walk, but that doesn't mean you don't get back on track quick. So I want people to realize that. So what happens when you create direction and you have the motivation and you have your mojo is you get the result that you want. And that's where the rubber meets the road, you know, is the result that you're wanting. And what I want people to realize is do not wait till you are good at these things that you want to be good at. Practice them daily and you'll get better. You know, when you look at things, if I were to draw a circle for you and I'd say, okay, the circle represents the leader. What are all the things that, what are the characteristics they ought to have? Well, then the arrow would naturally point inward to them, like confidence, credibility, trust, you know, humility, all those things, empathy. But what I want to encourage people is to point the arrows outward and apply yes. those to people first. Don't wait till you get good at them. Because if you wait till you get good at them, you will never do them. Because there's never really a point when you start developing a skill set that you say, okay, I'm good enough to go out and do it. Because as soon as you do that, you're going to fail. And then you will go back and you'll be like, oh gosh, you know, I failed at that. Well, that's just realize that part of your mojo is realizing that you're not going to be successful at some of these things. Like this past week, you know, we had 40 some odd people in the classroom and it was just a tremendous week. Although I'm sure that there were a few that maybe didn't connect like some of the others. And it wasn't because we weren't really trying. They just probably weren't ready.
Yeah.
And I don't see that as a personal failure. I went out there and tried my best and I gave it my best, which created the environment for people to get better. And some are going to get it and some aren't. You just have to remember, you will never, ever really get everybody rowing in the right direction. But what you have to do is get enough rowing in the right direction that the ones rowing in the wrong direction aren't pulling you backwards. And that's where people need to realize that.
So I have a question. And that is, you know, one of the things that we always emphasize as part of this whole kind of self-mentoring process is the importance of kind of journaling your leadership. And I know you're going to talk about that in a minute, so I may be getting ahead of myself. But one of the things that we're always kind of struck by is in classes like last week, that there's always people that don't journal. They don't see the value in it, or they are off put by it, whether it's because they're men or in a law enforcement profession. You know, what would you say, why have you always journaled and what do you see the value in that in terms of a leader and what you've experienced in your own personal growth by being able to do that?
Well, I mean, I'm going to talk about journaling in a minute, but I will say one thing. I have not always journaled. I began journaling when I decided I was really going to get better. Mm-hmm. I began journaling when I made the real decision to take getting better seriously. And I journaled back in the day because I couldn't remember it all and I wanted to write some of it down. And honestly, I thought that when I was reading books and stuff back then, you know, and it's well documented, you know, that and I talk about it a lot about having limiting reading skills. And I had to write in order to keep up with what I was reading. And so that became a form of journaling for me as a necessity. But I started journaling as a leader when I made the decision I was going to get better and that I was not ever going to be satisfied with my leadership. That's when I really journaled. a lot of people make the mistake of journaling because somebody tells them to journal, which is the wrong reason to journal. The reason you journal is because you're keeping score of where you are and you know where you're going. I call journals future self journals based upon the old self. So if I have a future self journal based on the old self, that I keep score, you know, so from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we talked about self-image. We talked about the importance of self-image and how that will keep you, that gives you direction. And the more I'm learning about leadership, the more I'm realizing that direction is the key. If you do not know where you're going, you can never lead anybody anywhere. And you got to know where you're trying to take people. You got to know what you stand for. You got to know what the foundational components are, but you literally have to know where you're going. Because if you don't, you will be guaranteed that you will stay 1,000% where you are right now. And that cannot happen in leadership because leadership is way too complicated and it's moving fast forward. The train's leaving the station every day. It's picking up speed as it's moving out of the station. And there will be a time when you just can't get on it anymore. Now let's talk about self-mentoring for a moment.
Okay.
And this may be a good time if you're, you know, take a break, or for Drew, if you want to break it up into self-mentoring, this would be a good time to cut it right here to do it. But let's talk about, this is part two of creating the best you as a leader. And it's the part where we talked about self-image, how important self-image is. Now I want to talk about the importance of self-mentoring, and self-mentoring is the ability for you to get yourself better. Now, let me talk about mentoring first, because mentoring actually comes from the book, The Odyssey, where the Odysseus was going to war and he left his son for 4 or 5 years. And he actually had a slave that worked in his house called Mentor. And he actually asked his slave to take care. The slave was also a friend. And he asked the slave to raise his kid and to help his kid during those formative years of teenage years. And the slave's name was Mentor. And so it actually comes from the ability to help others reach their potential and to grow them in a way, in the path that they should go. And so I want people to realize that as I travel around the country, I'm not going to do this on mentoring because there are so many components to mentoring. I'm just going to do this on self-mentoring because this is a quick, fast way to get yourself better, because the mentor-mentee relationship is a little more complex. I do want you to know, though, that every significant leader, every leader that I consider to be great, and every leader who has significant success that I see is always in a mentor-mentee relationship, which means they are always helping someone else and they are always getting help from someone else. And what the reason for that is because you cannot get your best or be your best without someone else guiding and directing you and checking your back and your six, or checking behind you to make sure your path is where you need to be. I don't care how good you are. I don't care. You have got to find someone to help you, and you have got to find someone to help. When you find someone to help, you're literally, or you're actually directing their path so that they need to go where they need to go to get better. And when someone's helping you, they're helping you direct your own path. And that is so significant because you need that as a leader. Now, what I'm going to talk about today is a thing called self-mentoring. Means that when you don't have that mentoring relationship, it does not mean that you cannot mentor yourself. And matter of fact, I highly recommend you mentor yourself, but do not use self-mentoring as a substitute for finding someone to help you get better or a mentor. I want to make that really clear. Self-mentoring will fill the gap, and it's really, really important. but it is not a substitute for connecting with other people and finding someone to put you and keep you on the track.
No, I think that's a good thing. I one of the things that you always talk about is that the higher that you go in the organization and you get to those chief executive positions, especially, the self-mentoring becomes really important because it becomes part of kind of that self-healing process when something doesn't go right. What would you say to our chief executives out there in terms of finding someone else to mentor them? And then when to use the self-mentoring versus finding that other person that can kind of serve as a mentor to them.
Yeah, and that's a really good question. Self-mentoring is what you do every day. You will not have a conversation with a mentor every day. Generally, a mentor is used when you get fairly reflective or you're in a bind and you need some help or you're kind of stuck or you get a good idea and you want to run something by somebody, you know, those are generally, or you got something you want to send and you're not sure if you take a look. I mean, those are generally not everyday occurrences, conversations with mentoring, because one, a lot of people can't find somebody to put that much time into you and you can't put that much time into someone else. So those are not, that's why self-mentoring is so important, is because you can do it every day. And I recommend self-mentoring every day. Mm-hmm, and self-mentoring is part of a thing that I call self-healing. And if you don't self-mentor, you will leave gaping wounds open in yourself and you will leave these uncertain things that you need to do and gaps you need to close and bridges you need to build. You will not do it because you'll wait on a conversation with someone else or, you know, you need to self-mentor every day, because that literally is like puts the Band-Aid on the cut. That literally stops the bleeding. And it also keeps you on track. Remember, self-image, your self-image is going to take a hit every day. I want people to be clear about that. I guarantee you could have the greatest self-image on the planet, and there is going to be a self-hit to that self-image every single day. And with social media and disappointments and all those things out there, you're going to take a hit every day and you're going to need to get yourself back on track. You got a chance. Too many days without self-healing or self-mentoring, one seems to lose their mojo. If you will.
And I think it contributes to cynicism too, a lot, is that they just give up. And so they develop this kind of cynical view of the world, which is not healthy for them or for the people they lead.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, you tend to create this paradigm of the world that's not that great when you don't self-heal or self-mentor. Right. So when you self-mentor, there's a couple of things that I recommend to help you self-mentor is you have to self-reflect. You have to take a couple of moments daily where you literally are just silent, that you're not really killing yourself with all these major thoughts. And you just take time to, I would recommend 5 to 10 minutes where you can just sit in silence and literally let your brain rest. These are self-mentoring techniques that have really worked for me. Is just, you know, and Kelly, you'll hear it with me. You know, we've worked together for a number of years and you know when I need it. You know, I'll tell you, look, I gotta take a few minutes just to be quiet. I gotta listen to myself here and take a few moments, you know. And so you gotta do that every day. You gotta find time to just.
Well, and let me just tell the audience too, he is so serious about being at the top of his game in the classroom that he wants that a couple of times a day, especially when he's teaching, because he likes to reflect on how things went that morning, if it's at lunchtime, or that afternoon, if it's in the late afternoon. And so you do need that time. We all do. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm some kind of new age person, but I actually find that a guided meditation works really, really well because it just clears your brain, if nothing else, to kind of just let the new stuff come in. So you're not just dwelling on the past, but you're kind of setting that aside and you're allowing your brain to kind of empty out so that you can let something new come in. You know,
well, you know that I do this every day when I'm teaching. I generally don't schedule anything around lunch.
Yep.
And or anything right after in the afternoon, because I am sitting at lunch and I will sit in the car a lot of times and just close my eyes and think about, all right, where did we go this morning? Where do I need to go? What was the reaction? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? And I'm almost self-healing and reflecting at the same time to try to move forward. And you need that as a leader. If you don't, you're going to blow a circuit.
Yeah.
So you got to self-reflect. One of the ways that I use what I call visualization, and that's what a lot of people call it, is I just see myself performing at the top of my game as a way of self-mentoring. So I literally, when we talk about self-image, I literally see myself executing those things I'm trying to do. You know, in part one or the earlier part, we talked about the three people. I almost always see myself doing that. Like I find myself doing it and I say, okay, this is what that looks like. It's like, if you're a basketball player, you'd see the shot going. If you're a baseball, you'd see the ball being hit. So I find a way to self-mentor by just taking a moment to see myself in that meeting where I'm executing those things that I want to execute. Like if I want this point to get across, I practice it and I see it.
Right.
So self-mentoring is practicing, executing, and visualizing the execution of what you're trying to accomplish. That's self-mentoring.
Another thing
that I use with that is I find a way to read, and I read in kind of several ways. I read first to make me better, which means that I read something that I know is going to push me to think at the next level. And then I read for fun, just something mindless to give myself kind of that break. Mm-hmm. Like I will read, find something, a funny story, and just read it or watch a video that's just funny.
Right.
I mean, that kind of creates this self-mentoring where it's getting my brain this rest. And then I read for content,
mm-hmm.
where I'm adding to my intellectual capital.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hear you.
So if anybody needs to know what those are, like I'm reading something I can use later on. Whereas when I said I read to push myself to get better, that's when I might watch a David Goggins thing, or I might watch something where I think I'm missing this point on doing this. I will read, or I will watch a video to really get myself better. Then I watch to fill my intellectual capital. And then I just watch or read just for entertainment. So those are self-mentoring things that I kind of do. Now, one of the most important components of self-mentoring is to keep score. You have to keep score of how you're doing. And once you keep score, you kind of have this moment where you say, how did that go? Okay, now how did that go? And then what did we do? You know, how did that work out? Was that a productive time for me? Was I at my best? Was I not at my best? Why didn't I do that? And I am constantly keeping score in the classroom on an hourly basis. At every break, I'm evaluating where I'm at score wise.
Yeah.
Because I know that if I'm behind on Monday, it's really hard to catch up Friday. So I have to catch up on Tuesday and bring everybody to where I'm trying to go, which is a lot of reasons why I do recaps in the classroom and I do those freestyling, is so that we can keep score to fill any gaps the person in the classroom might have to the material. Because we don't want anybody left behind.
Right.
When you're keeping score, you are finding who's left behind and who's not. you're finding who's ahead and who's behind.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
Yeah. I use self-mentoring a way of keeping score.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's do a quick recap here. Remember, our self-image is we provide direction. It's a way of motivating. It creates a mojo for us that gives us the result we want. Now, we talk about mentoring. We talked about we have to take a moment where we just reflect. And then we have these moments where we see ourselves performing. We see ourselves in that meeting, or we see ourselves on that phone call, or we see that thing that we're trying to accomplish. We visualize, right? And then we find a way to read. Because, and I read through Twitter, I read through Instagram, I read through all those things on
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, all those things. I'm using that as a source to help mentor me.
Right, right.
And then I keep score. And so those are things with the self-mentoring that, and the self-image that are really, really important.
I think those are great, great tips and advice. And you know, the keeping score has been kind of revelatory, I think, for me this year, just in terms of staying on track with some of the goals I have, both personally and professionally. So,
you know, and people may not realize this, but you and I keep score every day of where we are.
We do. Yeah. I mean, and I have my little chart in the back of my journal that I literally track every day, those numbers. So,
and we keep score in for Leaders Helping Leaders Network and our podcast and everything. I mean, we keep score a lot. And so we do that as a way of measuring where we're at so that we don't get too far behind. So, and it's really important for us to do this thing. So, all right, folks, I hope you've enjoyed the self-mentoring, the self-image podcast. As always at LHLN, we are always trying to help you become the best version of yourself, the best leader. In return, it helps us become the best version of ourselves and our best leader. We're excited for the future, what we got going on. We've got classes after class request form. We just sent my third book, Leadership Recipe, to the publisher. That's going to be coming out in the fall. We really hope that you'll get a copy of that. That's a whole different type of book that gives you the recipe for leadership success. I was so excited to write that one. And so we just got a lot going on. And Kelly's pushing the envelope with the content in the class and pushing the envelope with the contacts and our network. And it's just been amazing to see all this happen. So Kelly, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And folks, as we always say, you know what? Keep turning up that volume. Keep changing your life. Keep making a difference in people's lives out there. That's what we're all about. And you know what, folks? Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, I'm Dean Crisp.
Thank you for listening to Straight Talk on Leadership with Dean Crisp. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss an episode. You can go to www.lhln.org to find upcoming classes, where you can book Dean for his new class. And you can also check out his new book, Essential Leadership Lessons from the Thin Blue Line. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.